Good morning and welcome to The Business of Living, the show that brings you strategies and practical solutions for managing your life and career. I'm your host, Scott Ventrella. We continue with our theme. We're still, my gosh, we're actually getting pretty deep into January, which is very surprising to me. But we continue with our theme, New Year, New You, and today we're going to be talking about fitness. Let's face it, we are an out-of-shape nation, no matter how you look at it. In fact, more than one-third of adults and almost 17% of children were obese in 2009-2010. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported just this Tuesday. Those numbers, by the way, are no different than they were in 2003. I find this remarkable because it seems like, you know, we're not moving the ball in spite of advances in diet regimens, availability and affordability of fitness and conditioning centers, exercise equipment. It doesn't seem like things have changed much. What's behind this? Is there any hope? Of course, this is not just about obesity. In fact, in my view, I think there are many people that maybe they're quote-unquote perfect weight, but still out of shape, still not conditioned. So here to talk to us today about this situation and about how to get back into shape is Greg Herzog. He's the founder of Herzog Body Tech. Greg has been a pioneer in health and fitness for almost three decades. Now, it doesn't look possible, but it says three decades. I'm reading right off my script here. Three decades as a sports performance and conditioning specialist. And Greg, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So listen, I just want, for starters, I understand, among other things, you've been a celebrity trainer to the likes of Naomi Campbell, Harvey Keitel, David Geffen, Neil Sedaka, just to name a few. So let's start off, just share a little bit about your background, and how did you come to work with such famous people?
Well, I guess starting out as a sub-4-minute miler, and I worked with this friend of mine who was a strength coach with the Washington Redskins and was an Olympic bobsled coach and is now the coach of the Washington Nationals. He trained me in this high-intensity strength training technique. And then I later was trained by the founder, Arthur Jones, who's the founder of Nautilus and high-intensity strength training. And I just – it was a kind of an appropriate segue from my running background to the personal coaching. And I guess I chose that route of working with a certain clientele, which was quite interesting.
Now, did you choose them or did they choose you?
I guess it's a combination, as you can imagine. There was a perpetuation of you start working with people, and then, of course, you get referrals, which is nice.
Tell us about, so where did this whole interest in fitness and, conditioning, where did this all come from? You mentioned a sub-4-minute mile, and as a runner myself, I just find that unfathomable. I know it's been done. I think it was Roger Bannister in the early 1950s that was the first human being in recorded history to run that 4-minute mile. That was a big deal.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about that. Where did this come from? Was it something that you was it innate? You just, it turned out that you were athletic and came natural for you. And of course, eventually, where I want to go with this is this just limited to those people who have that innate capability, that this idea of being fit and fit throughout life?
Well, it's interesting, Scott, because I guess where I started from the paradigm of fitness, where my paradigm program was more oriented towards running and actually no diet because I could eat whatever I wanted to.
So if you're running 4-minute miles, I guess you could.
So then over time, I actually, because I had some knee situations, I had some high riding patellas where I didn't know it, but I had worn away cartilage in both knees. And so I was taking the aspirin as an anti-inflammatory. So I developed some gastric problems. And then a friend of mine was a physical therapist, and in order for me to work with him, he had me go to see this Dr. Olchek at the Hospital Special Surgery, which I think he's been coach or a doctor to the Jets and the Mets and those kind of folks. And I met with him, and he put my x-rays up there and said, if I didn't see you sitting over there, I would say these are x-rays of people, someone who can't walk. And he was just stunned. And I said, well, I can walk.
How old were you at the time?
I was 30. That was 20 years ago. And so he didn't know what to do with me. And so I actually so that's where I really became my research analysis and an investigator of health. And I was a little bit upset that, you know, here's a, you know, one of your top orthopedic surgeons, and he had a dead end for me. And he didn't know what to say because I could walk. So I made it my quest to become an investigator of health. And so that's where my paradigm shifted. And that's where I actually developed my Axis Core technique, which is comprehensive conditioning, which is not only physical and nutritional, but also mental and emotional. And I created this Axis Core program in the physical realm that was all encompassing. So it was actually power, strength, endurance, aerobic, and anaerobic. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I had to try to rewire myself for eating, which wasn't easy. Because if this is the difficulty a lot of people go through. It's like model or Olympic athlete syndrome, something that worked for you for 30 years or whatever. How do you make that shift? You may know what to do, but it's about conditioning and application.
You know, it's interesting. I want to get back to that in just a second. But you know, when I think about some of the work that I do, and my work is of course a little bit different. I do a lot, among other things, some corporate or executive coaching, where sometimes I deal with people where you know, there are egos involved. They think that they have all the answers. They think that they know what's best for them. Of course, they know enough to reach out for help. But when you're working with celebrities, you don't necessarily have to. We won't necessarily call any one particular one in out right now, but do you find the same thing where, you know, they know what's best for them? So like you said, you know, you take a Naomi Campbell, probably never really had to worry so much about you know, about weight, and I don't know what happens behind the scenes, but you'd think that you know, somebody like you comes in, and now like you said, there has to be a little bit of a paradigm shift. The things that got them where they are no longer working. Have you encountered that, and you know, how do you deal with that?
Absolutely, it's a very good point, and I think that that's where, as we had kind of discussed prior to this, and I've mentioned this to other people, that, you know, conditioning coaches like myself really need an advanced understanding of psychology, because you're dealing with so many different personalities and situations. Maybe you're dealing with somebody who's anorexic or all kinds of different things. And you've got to be able to make that shift and know whether to discuss things. And so I think that it's almost like in a therapeutic way, without having advanced degrees in psychology, creating that environment for growth. And also being able to understand that you can only do what you can do within the context of that.
So it's interesting because and maybe I'm sharing some of my own ignorance about, you know, I guess it's easy for all of us sometimes just to group people or by profession. And so, of course, I think especially over the last 5 to 10 years, the idea of personal trainers has been really, you know, very much in vogue. Of course, with the economy, that's probably dropped off a little bit. But my point is this. So I used to think about this more as, okay, this is about, you know, we're going to lift some weights. And I never really thought about the psychological aspect or the nutritional aspect. It sounds like you have to be. I'm speaking about you and in, you know, your particular work. It's very multidimensional. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it really is. Technically, it's therapy in a physical, mental, and emotional and nutritional sense. So you're having to take on all these different realms of and modalities of conditioning, where you may not be a psychologist. And so you're expected to have this innate understanding of psychology and advanced understanding of nutrition. Once again, you know, like sometimes even speaking with whether it's my wife or whatever about, you know, if somebody's talking about eating or whatever, and I'll say, you have to understand, you know, when to approach and when to withdraw. And she's like, why don't you just tell them this and do that? It doesn't work that way, especially as you well know, in the advancement of your working. That you have to know sometimes when to listen and when to, and sometimes you get your best success just by listening.
So I would imagine I can imagine a scenario where now you're let's say it's an introductory, you know, an initial meeting. I'd like to hear a little bit more also about what you cover in that. So somebody like me who's never done anything like this calls you up and say, okay, like to get started on your program. So I would imagine though a scenario playing out that, given what you've said so far, where you sense, let's say, that maybe somebody either has some bad habits, or they something serious like anorexia or bulimia, and so you pick up on these threads, or there's some hints of this. And I would imagine that if you to really get them on a great conditioning program, you do have to kind of, the proverbial elephant in the room, you have to kind of, bring attention to that. How do you do that? And have you ever had a real adverse reaction from one of your clients?
Oh, yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I work with this one woman who's a delightful woman, anorexic, a lawyer. And we turned it actually into a Silence of the Lambs kind of situation where she ended up interviewing me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it turned into so it was actually a
I'm going to out-lawyer you.
Oh, exactly. It was a fascinating interaction. But once again, I looked at it, what with this, choosing the different modality, what can I do? She is coming. Creating a good, safe environment. That's the big thing, is that I like to try and create a safe environment that's a gateway for growth. So we choose these different paths. Okay, you want to talk about nutrition? Okay, you don't. That's off the table. So we're going to do what we can do. So we're going to make you as strong and as flexible as we can. And you look forward to coming here. You feel safe. And when you leave, and for many people, it's actually interesting, because even though they don't want to admit it, as you probably go through too, you may be an interaction or a relationship that is one of their more intimate.
So if they say, well, look, I don't forget about the dietary, the nutritional thing. I just want this. Is that in some way compromising the program? And I think about, and again, in my work in the corporate environment, where somebody might say, let's say I have a number of different psychological assessments that I use. And they may say, well, like for instance, a 360 degree, where you're really getting data or feedback from a number of different sources. And they may say, oh, no, I'll do this, but I don't want that. And sometimes, I think, well, that's going to water down or dilute, I think, the effectiveness of this intervention. How would you respond to that?
It is very difficult. I was working with this one gentleman from Accenture, who's very successful, very high-powered guy in the company. Great guy. Really liked the guy. But he would come in and go back and forth, and literally sometimes he would just kind of walk right out on a session. But at one point,
they're used to calling the shots.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. And in fact, like I would speak to his wife, who I'd worked with and was close with, and she would even say to me, "I can't believe you talk to him like that." But as you may go through that. But he comes to me, and at one point he says, "Your ad says lose 10 pounds within," and it's kind of funny. It's like, here's a guy, high-powered guy, and he says, it's not your fault, but. And it's like, okay, excuse me, what's going on here? Are you the kid that never comes to class and never does his homework and is getting an F, and you want an A? Am I right or wrong here? And yet you've got to tell this big 6'5" guy, you know what I mean, that has these different issues. But once again, it's it is a struggle. And that's another thing, is that in psychology, and maybe even in your business, you have colleagues, in my business, we don't have as many colleagues like that we could bounce off information and stories with. So you kind of wonder how you're doing a lot of the time. You have to kind of talk to yourself.
Imagine it's got to be a difficult business. And I've seen the ad, guaranteed, virtually guaranteed to lose 10 pounds. But what you don't have any control over is whether this guy or gal, there, after they leave your office, they're eating a box of Twinkies.
Right.
deep fried Twinkies and, a bag of chips.
And that's exactly it.
You can only do so much.
Right. And that's the balance of, as I like to say, kind of being, being the diva. And then also being the great kind of therapist, because that's where you have to kind of lay it out. I've got the program. It's up to you to do it. I can produce the miracle with you if you're willing. I've had people lose 60 pounds, keep it off. I've had people rehabilitate themselves. I've worked with people with MS, things like that. But you need to be an active participant. And like you said, how do you do that without kind of putting it in people's faces and having them save face? It could be challenging.
In a little bit, we're going to be taking a break, and we're going to take a deeper dive after the break into how to get started. Let's think about, if this were our first meeting, what would go down kind of your tick list. I'd like to definitely know a little bit more about some of your the various programs. We're here on speaking with Greg Herzog. He's the founder of Herzog Body Tech. We're going to come back, and also we're going to be looking to Greg for the golden nugget of the day, so stay tuned for that as well. So we'll be back in a moment right here on 1490 WGCH.
This may sound like a typical high school basketball game being played on a Friday night in Connecticut. In fact, it's a crash course in cooperation and teamwork. It's a test of dedication, determination, and drive. It's character development in action. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think about this. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students who participate in school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. At the same time, playing sports helps teach lessons not covered in the classroom. Lessons like tolerance, respect for the rules, and the importance of supporting your community. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference and the Connecticut Association of Athletic Directors.
This is a 1490 WGCH News Bulletin.
And this is Tony Savino in the 1490 WGCH News Center. With this update, we'll get back to the business of living with Scott Ventrella. But first, I want to let you know about a major traffic problem on the Post Road in Coscob. Greenwich police report a three-car accident has closed the road in both directions between Robertson Lane and Nassau Lane. Police say there are minor injuries there, but the accident by First Bank of Greenwich is tying up the road. The roads are closed, so you'll have to either avoid that area or find an alternate way to get around that. Again, that's the Post Road between Robertson Lane and Nassau Lane in Coscob. Road is closed. A three-car accident. Minor injuries reported. We'll keep you updated on that situation. We'll get back to the business of living with Scott Ventrella on 1490 WGCH.
Welcome back. We're here with Greg Herzog. Greg is the founder of Herzog Body Tech. Greg's been a pioneer in the health and fitness business for almost three decades as a sports performance and conditioning specialist. Greg, what I'd like to do right now is, so we talked about you've worked with athletes and very well-known athletes and athletic teams and celebrities and corporate executives. What about average Joes like me? Or what about people who have never really spent time thinking about this, but now we really want to get for whatever reason, we want to get back into shape. What about the people who may think they have limited resources? What about people that think, well, you know, I can just go on the web and I'll pull off some kind of a program and do it myself? So walk us through that as, I think, a benefit to myself, actually, and the rest of our listeners. Walk us through what that might look like. So we sign up with Herzog Body Tech, and kind of take us through that process?
Sure. I think that one of the key ingredients, Elle Magazine interviewed me years ago, and they were talking about what is the one piece of equipment that you would recommend if there were one. And way back then, I said the trainer. And I think that your key is getting with the right practitioner that can introduce things in a way where you actually will do them. And in fact, I work with a lot of people, and I will do a quarter to a third what many other trainers will do in terms of the first. And that's what I think the big problem is. We had discussed before, many people are kind of, you know, they don't know how to bridge the gap between being on a diet, off a diet. You know, there's too high of a chance of just looking to join a gym or taking a class, and you're going to get crippled, and you're going to go, you know, maybe I'll just wait till the spring. You know, I'm just too busy.
It's cold.
And you play this game in your mind, and we all do it. And it's insane. And so how do you do that? And so that's what I would say. What I would want to try to do is, again, I want to create an environment for growth where, you know, you look forward to coming, you enjoy being there, and you look forward to coming back. Now, you may say there may be limited resources. Well, me as a practitioner, I would want to be able to instill a philosophy with you. I come from the background of high-intensity strength training. I was personally trained by Arthur Jones, the founder of Nautilus and high-intensity strength training, which is about efficiency training. That's what it is. So, you know, their philosophy was more about one set to fatigue. So I would want to educate you. And that's why I'm thinking that people need to do is they need to find a philosophy. You know what I mean? Mm. You have had to different people. When we think about it, it's like an interesting question. You know, who's made the biggest impact on your life? Wow. Like when I met this guy, John Philbin, who trained me in high intensity strength training, and he was the Washington Redskins strength coach, Olympic bobsled coach, and now is the Washington Nationals coach, you know, and it made sense to me, and that philosophy, and I built on that philosophy. That's what I think that you want. So I think, you know, you want the specificity of adapting a philosophy in something that you will do. Well, like with whether it's with your running that you love, and not to use the A word as an addiction, but I think that
it's an addiction for me, without a doubt.
And we need to have something that we're addicted to and that we really like. And unfortunately, I think that works as the opposite.
Actually, my philosophy, we've talked about this on the show before, whether it be, you know, exercise or even with relationships or with your career, that incorporate practices that become a habit. So acquire the habit of being fit, of conditioning, of eating, properly, and so on and so forth. So let's say this is our first meeting. Is it just a chat, a conversation, or are you trying to get a little bit into the person's the psychology? Do we hit the weight machines? What does that look like? Well, paint a picture.
There is a personality kind of assessment, almost like what you may do with your 360 and a number of other programs that you do. And there's the medical, and you really want to kind of get to know somebody. And as you know, working so well with people, you have an instinctive. But I also have come up with kind of actually I've just trademarked something called the fitness predictor that helps predict and change behavior. And so it basically takes a look at what you're doing versus what you want to do, and then how do you bridge the gap. So it's kind of like a certain number of point assessment where I would say to you, okay, well, instead of me going on and on about what I do, you know, tell me what you want, mm-hmm. what you've been doing, and what you will do. And what kind of exemplar model that you've been working from, you know, whether it's like the running or different things like that, or you're a yoga person, or, you know, and so we have a starting point like that. And then getting an idea of like what motivates them, what they associate to exercise and diet and things like that. So you basically really want to find out what this person will and won't do. And then even what I like to do is work from a physiological standpoint where it's like a forced physiological change where things actually just happen. But as you know, you're dealing with a personality. It's difficult because in other words, I really want to find out what you want and then work and build on that.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not, you know, here's the program. And whether the goal is to, you know, lose weight or to be able to participate in a particular event or get into that, you know, swimsuit or look good in your tux or the gown for the reunion, et cetera, it's not a one-size-fit-all. You're really looking at – it sounds like a very customized, individualized
It really
program.
Is. It's on one hand, it's a total Mickey Mouse business, but yet it's highly complex. And mm-hmm. and that's the big issue. And actually, I'm working on a book right now about that. That people don't really know what they want. You know, they may think that they want to lose weight, but it's really about that they really want to be healthy. And so, how do you? It's like, again, to use the therapy word, you know, it evolves over time. It's like, isn't it interesting? You came in here with what you thought, and look at where we are now. So how do we get to that point?
Now, what happens if you – so – and again, I don't know enough about the various programs you mentioned, the Axis Core, high-intensity strength training. I would imagine almost like when you read one of those little warnings that, hey, make sure that your doctor says this is okay. Do you get into that at all, or do you just assume that, you know, you're dealing with a more or less healthy specimen?
That's a very good point. You know, when you work over time, it's like carrying business cards. You know, all of a sudden you get a little bit established and you stop doing that. It's the same kind of thing in this realm where it's I believe that, especially starting with a hands-on approach with the manual resistance and things like that, that my introduction is – it's like that game, not to date ourselves, but it's like that game Operation, Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That we want to do that. But, of course, I advise people get it, you know, go see your doctor. That's another thing, though, mm-hmm. that you, surprisingly you'll have somebody that they need to get a physical and they just won't. So what are you going to do? So, of course, you can have them sign a release as I do and things like that. But, again, it's trying to specifically find what somebody wants to do. That's your starting point and what they will do, and you inch them forward. That's the interesting thing, like with therapy. People need to be in you have to be able to be in shape to get in shape.
I understand.
And it's the same kind of thing with therapy. It's like, so you need this introduction where people, you know, I had a situation one time where I fell out of the tax system for a couple of years or whatever, but I went and I got with this one guy and he made it like it was no big deal. I said, well, that happens. I could have gone to somebody else and he could have made this big deal out of it. Same kind of thing. So it's so key who you get with, how it's introduced, where you go. That's what I would really say. And it sounds simple. Think about what I'm saying, though. You know,
absolutely. No, and it sounds like you're meeting people where they are, and trying to tailor a program that's going to work for them. What's the commitment? Is it every day? Is it a couple times a week? Is it, you know, hours a week? And that's another thing. Look, we're talking here. We are in Lower Fairfield County, and we've got busy, very busy people. You know, multitasking. Hey, look, I don't have time. I can't squeeze this in. So don't give me something that's going to impinge on my my ability to do the other important things like make money and take care of my family and things like that.
Well, that's a good point. And that's where I think that's a lot of times people we've mentioned, they lock onto this hour thing. The Access Core Comprehensive Conditioning Program, again, it's power, strength, endurance, aerobic and anaerobic, is a 20 to 40 minute program. It's about efficiency. It's about balance.
20 minutes. 20, you can actually get benefit out of 20 minutes?
Absolutely, because it's about finding that target weight, finding those perfect repetitions, and finding, you know, the right number of sets, which is what I do, where you go from one thing to the next. It's not circuit training, but that's what people want. And I think that people could do 20 minutes, can't they? They could do 20,
absolutely.
40 minutes.
Absolutely. I can find 20 minutes.
I don't have an hour either. I don't know about you. Right?
I'll take 20 minutes less, you know, eating or sleeping or
– Right. But I think that's – and in fact, as we discussed before, I've trademarked something called In Defense of Fitness, because one of my missions is how do I introduce fitness to the mass public where something that they actually will do.
Okay, so Greg, here it is. It's time for the golden nugget of the day. What wisdom can you impart on us today?
I would say find whether it's a good source, whether it is a book, whether it is a program, whether it is a practitioner. Don't look to just kind of cheat yourself and cut that corner. And in your nervous system, you know it. We're just going to take that yoga class, that Pilates class, join that gym, find a practitioner and a philosophy that is, it's like an education that you're going to instill for the rest of your life.
And I actually agree with it. And I think that the idea of it's more than just a buddy system, but having a coach, having somebody that's in your corner, having somebody that has your best interests in mind and that's going to put you on a program that works for you and is going to guide you through that. I think for many of us, given the human nature, that's really the best way. I'm not going to say it's the only way, but I think it's the best way. Well, listen, Greg, thank you so much. We've been speaking with Greg Herzog. He's the founder of Herzog Body Tech. Please join me next week. I'll be speaking with Tammy Jersey. She's the president and founder of TKJ and Associates. Many people out there now, I think the job market's loosening up a little bit. She's going to be talking about how to prepare for and ace your next job interview. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, you only have one life. Why not live it on purpose? This is Scott Ventrella for the Business of Living Show here on 1490 WGCH. So long.
This is your community radio station serving Lower Fairfield County.